B-Pod Studios.
And I'm not going to completely name drop this, but the good old boy from Granite Falls, North Carolina, who happens to be a megastar in country music, was with me for that. And we were with Ron Green Jr., and we were with Wesley Walls, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, and the four of us were walking on the 18th hole that day as that is unfolding, and Walls turned into, like, he was running down on a kickoff, like on special teams, like just trying to block for us.
Stay with us, and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X and tailor-made TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at CLT_golf guy. Today, this is going to be fun. I'm going to introduce you to Caleb Surratt. Well, who is that? Well, for starters, he's the two-time defending state champion golfer from Union Academy. For another, he won two of the most prestigious amateur tournaments in the country this year, the Western Junior and the PGA Junior in back-to-back weeks. And he made it to the third round of the U.S. Junior Amateur last week in the Sandhills. Next week, he will travel to Oakmont for the U.S. Amateur. He's a name you're going to hear in the world of golf for years to come. And I've known him and his family since he was just a little boy. So it's a big thrill to talk with him like this professionally. But we kick things off today with a two-part conversation with one of the best and most versatile broadcasters in the game, putting a big old bow on the PGA Tour Major Championship season, the Olympics, and a whole lot more. From PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM, and assorted other media outlets, my old friend Taylor Zarzer. Taylor, before we unpack a lot of golf here, I want to pull back the curtain on Oz a little bit and talk broadcasting just for a second. I think people might be fascinated by this. Maybe Jim Nance, maybe Mike Tirico, they're the only two other people I've ever met who, like you, I just sense you have a joy of being in the moment, of being at wherever the action is, unlike pretty much other than those two other broadcasters, any that I've ever been around. It's one of the things I admire and love most about you as a broadcaster. And it's one of the things that with the global pandemic of 2020 and even bleeding into 2021, I thought had to have driven you crazy. I know that you were probably having to do football games remotely from your studio at the house, which had to be completely bizarre. But when was the last time, did you go to any of the majors in 2020 anchoring coverage on site?
I did. I went to Wingfoot. There's no one on the course, which was so strange. I went there for the U.S. Open, and I went to Augusta National, and that was the most bizarre sporting event I've ever been to. It's actually, I mean, I certainly strongly prefer it in a full environment, but if you want to talk about like the craziest access ever, I mean, it was like watching you play in the club championship at your home course, surrounded by a couple dozen people around the green. And oh, by the way, we're playing for a green jacket. I mean, it was just wild. Like the walking gallery was, you know, 2-3 dozen people. And I was just such a surreal experience. But, yeah, so I went to those two. We remotely broadcast the PGA at Harding Park. But I went to the other two. And then this year I've gone to the Masters, and I went to Kiowa, which was just – I still really don't believe that that happened. And I went to Torrey, which was great. And then we just remotely broadcast the Open Championship because of all these – issues popping up again, but I really appreciate what you just said, and it means a lot to me that you have noticed that, because I do. You know, we only get one shot at this. I'm not going to come back and get to do this again, and I try to do the things that I'm most passionate about, and I certainly try to provide for my family and do things that are most necessary each and every day. I can't say I'm in the same tax bracket as the other two people you mentioned, but that really does mean a lot to me that you said that. You have a strong admirer in country music, and his father is even a bigger admirer of yours. And I might need you to clip that and send that to Hickory, North Carolina for me. Granite Falls, North Carolina, actually.
We might have to do that. Taylor Zarzer from SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio and God knows what other media outlets is our guest taking Dead Aim. So you were on site for the PGA at Kiawah, which leads to this question, because these are three electric moments that I know you were physically on site for. I want you to rank them from most electric to least electric, and that's a horrible adjective. You were on site for the kick six with Auburn and Alabama. You were on site for Tiger Woods 2019 at Augusta National, and you were on site for what Phil just did at Kiawah. In terms of on-site electricity, rank those three for me.
Yeah, well, it was incredible to be there at Kiawah, but that would be third. That's tough between the kick six and Tiger. Tiger, that's number one. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in sports. And every time I think about it, I mean, like right now, I get goosebumps when I really think about the crowd that was surrounding, the patrons that were surrounding the 18th green that day. And to be at a golf tournament, one that, at least in my opinion, always unnecessarily has gotten some criticism. I'm not defending everything that's ever happened there, but I think people have always exaggerated some of the issues there. But to be in that place and to have all the, you know, you do have a lot of different people from all over the world, but predominantly you have a bunch of people that look like you and me from the great state of Georgia, and they're all chanting Tiger's name and just given everything that had happened. Who knew we would have even more twists and turns in the story since then? But that would be number one. The kick six is that would be a close second. But very similar to the kick six would be the experience I had at Kiawah. And you don't know this, but you would appreciate this probably more than anyone else listening. And I'm not going to completely name drop this, but the aforementioned good old boy from Granite Falls, North Carolina, who happens to be a megastar in country music, was with me for that. And we were with Ron Green Jr., and we were with Wesley Walls, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, and the four of us were walking on the 18th hole that day as that is unfolding, and Walls turned into, like, he was running down on a kickoff, like on special teams, like just trying to block for us. Ron and I were completely terrified of the environment we were suddenly in. And Mr. Chief was like, this is incredible. This is just like a concert. I've been missing this. And he was like a kid in a candy store. So that was a wild experience. It would be behind Tiger and it would be behind the kick six. But I would tell you this, though. I was most shocked by Phil winning than I was the other two. I mean, look at the way Phil's played since and the way Phil was playing before that. It was just like the craziest, most unexpected week. And Phil has a really hard time keeping it together emotionally and keeping it together from a concentration standpoint for 4 days. And to see him keep it together like that was shocking. It really was. It was amazing for the game of golf. And, you know, I think we already thought we knew what would be on Phil's professional tombstone, and there he goes rewriting it at 50 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, I maintain I have this theory about the golf gods and their greatest champions. I always believe that they give them one last great walk in the sun, whether it be Hogan's third round in 67 or 68 at the Masters, whether it be Nicklaus in 98 with a, you know, a top 10 finish at Augusta, whether it be Julie Inkster in the third round of the 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, where she turned back the clock and shot 65. I think the great champions get that last great walk in the sun. And shoot, I thought Tiger got two or three of them. Yeah, the East Lake was a great walk. What happened at the Masters was just beyond belief. And if, you know, God, I hope he's able to resume a normal life with his family. And good Lord willing, if he's able to get back on the golf course, maybe we'll get one more moment where he gets to walk in the sun. But I really thought Phil's had been had. I thought Phil's walk at Muirfield was the bookend on the great Phil Mickelson. And that was his last great walk in the sun. And then lo and behold, he turned back the clock and was a different kind of Phil Mickelson that I've ever seen in a major championship, and especially on that Sunday. It was a completely different Phil Mickelson by demeanor. Everything was so different. And even the celebration was far more subdued, and I was so surprised by it. I was surprised that Amy wasn't there. The whole thing was just so different, but he got that next last great walk.
Yeah, he did, and you're right about his concentration level and how even keel he was throughout that entire experience. It was very uncharacteristic. And honestly, he hasn't been that guy since.
No.
And maybe we won't ever get it again, but it is, I'll be interested to see what happens this weekend with the Olympics and, if Matsuyama wins the Masters and then wins a gold medal in his home country, unfortunately not in front of anybody. Can you imagine what that environment would be like if at full capacity, if Matsuyama were to win a gold medal? I mean, that across the entire world might carry some more weight. It definitely would. But I don't think there's any doubt, at least to this point, Phil, what he did at Kiel was a story in golf in 2021.
Before we leave the PGA, the aforementioned country singer from Granite Falls, when was the last time that he was in a mob scene that wasn't about him? That had to be the most surreal experience of all. People are going crazy all around him, and it wasn't about him. It almost had to be Nirvana for him.
He did. Both of us got humbled quite a bit a few days earlier when we took last place in a local member guest in the Charlotte area. But so he had quite a large amount of humility when we went to that event. But yeah, I'm trying to think. We went to the World Series many years ago when the Red Sox won, and we were in the middle of that, in an environment like that. But, it's been a long time. And thank the good Lord, it's all about him and those environments again.
From PGA Tour Radio, SiriusXM, and so many other media outlets, that's Taylor Zarzer. And when we return, he will take dead aim at unpacking the rest of the PGA Tour Major Championship season, the Olympics, and a whole lot more. Presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies. And we've reached the Greater Golf Express Halfway House on the show this week. Visit the Golfer's Paradise to get prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. Oh my goodness, the Golfer's Paradise is setting new sales records every day. That's because Greater Golf Express has the best selection, service, and pricing in the metro. Don't be fooled at the Planet Box store. Hey, have you heard about the brand new TaylorMade 300 Mini Driver? Check it out at Greater Golf Express. And while there, stock up on the prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X balls, only $39.99 a dozen. And you know what else? It's time to replace your old faded golf bag. And Greater Golf Express can help. They have a huge selection of Hot Z cart bags starting at only $119.99, or get the outstanding Naples Bay cart bag at $139.99 with lots of great choices. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons, 4 through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right-handed only. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. Lower your scores. Get fitted. If it's golf and you need it, Greater Golf Express has it, located in Pineville next to Home Depot, or GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now more with Taylor Zarzer.
All right, we've already unpacked the PGA. Let's talk about the other major championships this year. The moment, I'll never forget talking to my dad after the Masters, and my dad says, well, you know what the moment was today, and I named off two or three things. He says, nah, you missed it. And my dad, being a former photographer, absolutely nailed it. He said, it was the caddy bowing back to the course at Augusta National. He says, that's the Sports Illustrated cover. I said, you don't put a caddy on the Sports Illustrated cover? And lo and behold, the next week it was. And I just got this note from dad that said, told you. But that was an unbelievable international moment. And, you know, you talk about Matsuyama at the Olympics. From what I understand, because of their COVID situation, he hasn't really gotten the hero's welcome for the Masters that you would have expected.
It's such a bummer, man. I mean, it really is, because I try, one of the things, you know, everybody always is asking you, what can you take away from going to all of these events that the public cannot see? And one of the top things I would say about going to major championships in golf is the double it by two Tiger at his prime crowd that Matsuyama has following him everywhere he goes. It's unbelievable. I don't know how to, you wouldn't really understand it unless you saw it up close and personally. I mean, this guy is followed by this throng of media everywhere he goes, and it would be a massive story, and really the biggest in sports in Japan, if there's a normal environment. So it's got to get through all this, man. Hopefully one day we'll get back to the way it was. But going back to what your dad said, Greg Norman and I were standing in our broadcast position there next to the 18th green, and we are 30 feet, 10 yards, you know, from where that happened. And I got to tell you, I mean, that really hit me hard. I was like, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I love the amount of respect that he showed for that moment. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was a stunning moment for sure. The last two majors of the year, I thought may have, and I hate to use this term because it's so cliche, but it may have turned the page off of one era into a new era, where you have John Rahm and Colin Morikawa, two of the up-and-coming biggest young stars in golf, doing what we want our young stars to do. I think I was actually more impressed by Morikawa for this reason. He won at Harding Park, and there was no one around. And I maintain that it's a lot harder to control the adrenaline that you feel when there's 70,000 people looking at each and every shot coming down the stretch. And I wanted to see how Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolff and all of these young guns would handle a professional major and a professional tournament that didn't look like a college tournament that they played in. And what Morikawa did at the Open Championship with Jordan Spieth throwing haymakers on the back nine was one of the most impressive things I've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you nailed it too, because, you know, there was over 30,000 people there at Royal St. George's, and a couple of our broadcasters that work for us that are based in the UK were there on site, and they really remarked about how full of an environment there was on Sunday, at least the final group. There was as many people that would follow a final group as you would traditionally have at an Open Championship. And you know, I thought more about what you said the last day of the Open, because I thought, you know, Morikawa won his first professional tournament 2 years ago in Tahoe, and Tahoe doesn't. That's an opposite field event, and there's not a whole lot of fans there, and it's not like it's a crazy, wild environment. Good for him, great win. But then the second time he won, amazing what he did, you know, to beat JT the way he did in that playoff at the Workday, but still, no one there. incredible performance at the PGA. No one there. A very small amount of people were in Florida for the WGC concession event that they had. So he had never really won a professional tournament with a normal environment or anything close to it. So I would say that was most impressive of all five. It's crazy. He's got five wins already in 2 years. But of all five of his wins, I would absolutely put that one at the top. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of Pete Sampras and especially of Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver. You know, and I got to know Jimmy for a little while towards the end of his NASCAR career. And when I would see him in just, you know, personally, just in town, I would say, would you please do something wrong? You know, like, and Morikawa doesn't do anything wrong. He is so level-headed, so mature, so prepared for everything he does. And I know we live in a world where we, like, wait for somebody to make a mistake, and we, you know, we pounce when somebody does something that we can criticize. Well, you better keep waiting for Morikawa, because... This guy is rock solid.
John Rahm's win almost felt like an exhale to me in that it seems that for a young player, the expectation factor was really heavy on this guy. I joke that every conversation I've had with Ron Green Jr. over the last 2 or 3 years, asking who do you think has the best chance to win the major, he just automatically says John Rahm, and so does everyone else. And so his win at the U.S. Open and how he did it, even with people folding like cheap suits around him, you can't say that they lost it. With the way he birdied 17 and 18 and the putts that he made to do it, John Rahm went out and won the U.S. Open. And sort of, you know, pacified the expectation. And when you do it this young in your career, you almost get the idea that the floodgates might open for this guy, because to the eyeball test right now, he's the best golfer in the world.
He is. And, you know, going through what he's gone through off of the course, or actually in one case on it, being told about the positive test and then having to go through this again and miss the Olympics, the way he's responded to that has been so impressive. And he came up to me on the 18th green when we did our post-round interview, and he poked me. He is a fiery guy, and he poked me in the chest. And he said, "What did I tell you? Karma." And he is a big believer in that, and certainly I think that, you know, the way he's handling these situations is part of the reason why he had the confidence to win the U.S. Open and why I'm sure he's going to have some more big moments in 2021. I know that this – I might be in the minority here – because I would say most people would say Colin Morikawa is the player of the year right now because of his two wins. Well, I think John Rahm's player of the year. I absolutely give him credit for winning the Memorial. He had a six-shot lead going into the last round. He won the U.S. Open. The way he won it, like you said, with those putts on 17 and 18. And then, you know, then he turns around and he finishes third in the Open Championship. This guy is unequivocally the best player in the game of golf in 2021. And I think he should be recognized as the player of the year. He has a few more events, obviously, left to seal the deal with that. And I was so happy for his caddy, Adam Hayes, who might be listening to us right now, Charlie. He lives at the lake, and there is this unbelievable photo of him in the background as Rahm is making that putt on 18 with his arms stretched out, just like, finally, here we go. This is awesome. And I was so pumped for Adam. I think if John's the best player in golf, I think Adam's the best caddy in the game. So they're a heck of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I think Morikawa will get some votes, but at the end of the day, and we still have the FedEx Cup playoffs to come, but, you know, Rahm not only won a major, he top 10 in the other three and also top 10 at the TPC, and no one else did that. So that sort of solidifies that for me. Taylor Zarzer is our guest taking Dead Aim from SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio and numerous other media outlets. Thank you for mentioning the Olympics. Get you out of here as we sort of unpack the Olympics a little bit. As we record this conversation, Xander Schauffele, in the second round, shot an 8-under-63 to vault into the lead as they went into yet another weather delay. I finally fell asleep at the last weather delay and said, okay, I've had enough. This is a guy who now has that Rahm-like burden of expectation on him. He's got 9 top 10s in the last 18 majors. He's another one whose name is always mentioned as having the complete game to win any major championship. Do you think if he was able to break through at the Olympics, it won't have the same, you know, cachet as winning a major, but is that the kind of win that the next time he's in a position to win a major, he could draw upon and perhaps break through?
Yeah, I think so. I think that this could catapult him into some more. I think he needs to win an event in order for that to happen. And Tony Finau is kind of the same way. I mean, Schauffele, I would certainly favor a little more than Finau, but both of them, I think, have a mental hurdle that they need to overcome in the final round about believing in themselves, and they need to see themselves do it in order for them to do it again and again. Sandra, on more than one occasion, has come off the golf course, and I've done had a conversation with him right afterwards, and he has said something like, "What a shocker, I blew it again." And maybe that's not exactly what he said, but that's kind of what he was saying. And it's kind of like, come on, man, stop that. You're like everybody that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, independent, separately from each other. I have spoken to them. I was walking with Tiger in the Bahamas a couple years ago during a practice round, and I said, "Everybody's playing the best in the world. Who's the best?" And I didn't even finish. And he said, "Xander." And I said, "Really?" And you know how Tiger is when you question him, he keeps saying the same thing over and over. He gets Xander. And then I said, "What about Xander?" and then Phil, you know, has publicly talked, obviously, about during the pandemic a year ago, they would play these money games, and he was like, "Go home to Amy." And say, "I can't beat this guy. This guy is crazy, like how good he is." And everybody says that plays out there on tour, that when they just simply are playing golf for fun or they're playing a practice round, that you just wouldn't believe how talented this guy is. And so I do. I think, you know, he loves his dad. His dad is really hard on him and very blunt with him about, you know, getting the job done. I wonder if they need to change their strategy with that some. But Xander needs to go win an event like this in order for him to win major championships. But this guy's talent is insane. I mean, it's just take everybody else's word for it.
You and I love golf, so we're going to watch Olympic golf, and the golf is going to get good numbers, and it's going to be around for a while. And I realize that this is only the second Olympiad in more than 100 years that we've had golf available. But I always am trying to figure out a way to tweak it in some manner that would make it more interesting, even for people like us. Are you in favor of keeping it a 72-hole stroke play, or would you like to see maybe a 36-hole stroke play and then a 36-hole mixed team and then a 36-hole team? Or is there any way to tweak the Olympics a little more in golf?
We've got to get a team event in golf, no question. I would say this, that I think it's really – I think it's unnecessary and unfair to judge golf's return to the Olympics when the Zika virus was going on in an absolute disaster of a place in Rio, which – It really was. I mean, there were all these concerns, and then after the games have over, the place has been a disaster. And then you have what happened with what's been happening in the last year and a half with our entire world going on, and it being so far away in the heart of the PGA Tour's season, getting close to the postseason. That's just asking a lot to travel all the way over to play in that. So Paris is not as crazy of a trip as those two were, and if 3 years from now the world is normal, and then 7 years from now in Los Angeles, I think we'll have a much better gauge of whether golf is working in the Olympics, and I feel like it will, but I'm with you. I think just doing a 72-hole individual event is not the best way to promote the game. There's so much passion that comes out of a team event, and I would love for them to do, you know, if they want to connect it to the Masters like they're doing, where the gold medalist gets an exemption in the Masters, and they want to give official world golf ranking points, which they're doing, then okay, fine. Play 54 holes over 3 days, and then have the other 2 days, make it a 5-day event, and the other 2 days, let's have a team component somehow, and it's only an exhibition, but you give out medals. And I think that event, especially if it was over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, or maybe it's just Sunday, you know, it's kind of like a medley in swimming. Like if you had that, I think that the public, a lot of people that aren't connected to golf would say, man, this is really cool. And I think it would do wonders for the game.
His passion for sports in general and golf in particular is infectious. From PGA Tour Radio, SiriusXM, and assorted other media outlets. Gosh, I'd hate to be his accountant. That's Taylor Zarzer. And up next, we take dead aim at the world of big-time competitive amateur golf in America with one of the best players in the country. From Union County, Caleb Surratt. First, though, let's make one last pass at the Greater Golf Express Halfway House, where prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls are just $39.99 a dozen. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. Oh my goodness, the golfer's paradise is setting new sales records every day. That's because Greater Golf Express has the best selection, service, and pricing in the metro. Don't be fooled at the Planet Box store. Hey, have you heard about the brand new TaylorMade 300 Mini Driver? Check it out at Greater Golf Express. And while there, stock up on the prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X balls, only $39.99 a dozen. And you know what else? It's time to replace your old faded golf bag. And Greater Golf Express can help. They have a huge selection of Hot Z cart bags starting at only $119.99, or get the outstanding Naples Bay cart bag at $139.99 with lots of great choices. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons, 4 through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right-handed only. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. Lower your scores. Get fitted. If it's golf and you need it, Greater Golf Express has it. Located in Pineville next to Home Depot or GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies in Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Caleb Surratt is one of the top amateur golfers in America. This summer, in consecutive weeks, he won the Western Junior and the PGA Junior, two of the most prestigious tournaments in the country. Last week, he made it to the third round of the U.S. Junior Amateur at the Country Club of the Carolinas, and he lives right here in Union County. What happened at the Junior Amateur?
I mean, I played fine, actually. I mean, I finished fifth in stroke play, and then I beat two kids in match play, and then I got one of my best friends in the third round, Jonathan Grizz. I mean, we've played probably 150,000 times together, and I don't know. He got the best of me that day.
Is it harder to play match play with someone you know really well than someone who's a complete stranger?
No, I think it's totally harder. Just because, like, I feel like there's more tension there. Like, you know kind of what's on the line bragging rights-wise. And, I mean, not only that, it's like, you know, they also, you know their game, but they also know your game just as good. So I feel like it's a lot harder mentally, at least, for me.
Because in some ways, because you have such knowledge of each other, you don't feel like you can get that mental edge that perhaps you can get on someone else because they know everything, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, like, a lot of mental strategy I feel like I usually use when I play people, you know, it's when you're playing somebody you know, it's not always there.
Full disclosure, I don't usually open up interviews yelling at my subjects like I just did with Caleb Surratt, but you must understand I've known Caleb Surratt and he's known me for way too many years that we need to talk about. He's our guest taking Dead Aim. I guess now a two-time state champion as well from Union Academy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 2 years.
Now, you had, I guess you won in, God, did you win in 19? And then there was no playoffs in 20 because that was my son's senior year. So you're now the two-time in 3 year defending state champion.
Yeah. So, I've ended up, pulling it out every time I've been. It was unfortunate that they canceled it last year, but should get another chance this year.
Yeah, you play golf's an individual sport, and we'll go over some more of the tournaments that you've done this summer. You're currently ranked 5 in the AJGA rankings. You're going to Tennessee in the fall of 2022. But there's something about playing school golf. Jack Heath, I've had in studio a couple of times, played at Catholic, was also a PGA junior champ, who's now at San Diego State. And we talked about how much he loved just playing with his boys at Catholic. There's something special about playing high school golf, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think it's like, it's time to where it's still like competitive golf, but you know, you also can take a break from all the pressure and, you know, the weight on your shoulders because, you know, there's really nothing there. It's just fun.
You've been playing a lot. I'm looking at the dates. You've been playing some heavy tournament golf since May 21st, all the way to now. Are you on sort of a break for a few weeks, or are you playing in the AM? What all are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm on a hair of a break. I had had like 6 or 7 straight weeks on the road, so summer was definitely hard and took a big toll on me. But it's nice to get like 2 weeks out of the way of rest, but then also a lot of hard work that will be put in. But yeah, I will be playing U.S. Amateur Oakmont in just 2 weeks, or about a week and a half, actually. So I'm in the middle of preparing for that. Not, I'm sure I'll have some stuff later in the year, but certainly not as stressed and as big as a schedule as the summer was.
Did it get to be a grind, or does it get to be a grind playing that many weeks in a row? I mean, I'm sitting there looking, you played, 528, 614, 621, 712, 719. I mean, you're just a lot of time out there, a lot of heavy competitive golf. Does it get to be such a grind that at some point, and I don't mean to put it this way, but I can't think of another term, that it ceases to be as fun as it used to be?
I think, people see the dates and stuff of when the tournaments start, but what people don't see is the hours of work being put in between the days and after the round, and all the early morning gym calls to get ready and warm up for your round. But what other people don't see also is all the time you get to relax and hang out with all my friends on the road. So I feel like I got a lot of great friends that I'm privileged enough to travel with and see at these events. So for me, I think it's even more fun, being out there as much as possible because, I got those guys to hang around and, obviously there's a lot of hard work and stress that goes into it every single day and every week. But, when you get those a couple hours a day to hang out and, just chill with all your buddies, that's what makes it fun and that's what it's all about. So, it can definitely, it kind of goes both ways. But the way I was viewing it is, with such a big summer like that, if you get hot, and you're feeling really good with your game, it's really easy to carry it into the next event. I feel like, if you get some momentum going. That's kind of what I kept in my mind because it started the summer when I won the Western Junior. I felt like it was really easy to keep that momentum going into events, and I ended up doing that.
Let's talk about that tournament. Caleb Surratt is currently ranked number 5 in the AJGA rankings. Union County's own from Indian Trail. He's our guest taking dead aim. The Western Junior is a major, major amateur tournament. And in a weird turn of events, you put your dad on the bag when things started to go south. Tell me how that came about.
Yeah, I just my dad caddy for me earlier in the year at the Terracotta Amateur, and it was my, first big win and first time I really had, truly seen true success in a big event like that. And he was on the bag. So, at Western, I didn't really have my best, 36 holes or 27 holes by myself. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I just wasn't in the right place mentally. And I called him in just for, mental support. And, it ended up carrying into talking about shots. And once I started doing that, I played, the next – I ended up coming back and winning, with him on the bag, and that was a huge turn of events. But it didn't really feel like it, because it didn't really feel like my game changed at all. It just felt like I was in a different place mentally than I was by myself.
Now, for those that don't know, Caleb's dad, Brent, is a long drive champion from back in the day. Back when you can outdrive him now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, see, it was back in the day where we could still outdrive our kids. That's when Brent was a long drive champ. But his perspective of being on the bag, you talk about how he just got you in a better place. What sort of things did he tell you? What did he do? Because it's different. The parent-child relationship is different from the caddy-player relationship. What is it that he did for you on the bag that put you in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly less of a, parent-child relationship. It was more of a caddy-player.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be.
Yeah. It was, I feel like we've always done a great job about talking through shots and, talking through shots and planning what we want to do. And he knows my game, so it's very easy to decipher when I'm thinking the wrong things over shots because he's seen me make mistakes in the past. When that change of events came, we didn't really, it wasn't like we were having just random conversations to calm me down. It was more like it was easier to talk through the shots mainly and, focus more and commit to something more with him on the bag. And, it just made me calm down on the inside, over balls, and once I had played a couple good holes, then that's what really changed the tone is once I started making a couple of birdies and playing well and got myself back into the event, and I know how to play under pressure and I know how to win. So once I got in that moment and position, I knew I could do it.
What flipped the switch for you? Was it a feel on a shot? Was it you making a bomb? You know, there had to be that one shot or that one sequence of shots where you went, ooh, I got it. Here we go.
Yeah, it wasn't really that. It was, I shot four over in round one, and then I think I was three over through nine the next day, and there's a 36-hole cut, so I had to make something good happen on this back nine, and my dad came in for that back nine, and he, you know, obviously we played well, but I had turned it around on that back nine and shot three under, so it was mainly the whole nine overall, and I think I ended up getting back six over total for the event, and seven over made the cut, and I knew that with a 36-hole final round in one day, you know, I knew nine shots was nothing. You know, I mean, you can do that in 36 holes, and so I knew that once I was able to turn that around, that's when I found the motivation to go out there and really try and win it.
Yeah, you go 74, 71, that's when the cut's made, and then you go 65, 67. What was your margin of victory there?
I think I came back from nine and won by four.
Wow. That's a heck of a deal. Caleb Surratt is our guest taking Dead Aim. He's the currently ranked number five in the AJGA rankings. He's committed to Tennessee, Union County Zone, two-time defending state champion at Union Academy. Now, you took, I guess, the next week off was July 4th, and so I guess you were chasing girls and beach and whatnot. And then the next thing is a big, big, big-time tournament, the Boys Junior PGA Championship, which comes with some special caveats for the winner. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm sitting here looking at your first two rounds, and I'm like, okay, 69, 67, that doesn't do anything for me. He does that all the time. Is 62 in the third round, is that your lowest competitive round?
No, yes, sir. Minus nine under one day was best I've ever played in tournament. The best score was.
I don't want to say it's easy because it's not, but getting to 69, 67, you know, three under, four under, five under, that's not as difficult a thing as it is to get to eight and nine under. And I'm not talking about just making three or four more birdies. I'm talking about the mental game of keeping your foot on the gas, because it's so easy to just say, you know what, I'm playing great, I don't want to screw this up. How hard is that for you, or how hard was it for you to make that next step in your game, to learn to keep your foot on the gas like that?
Well, it wasn't really that mentally. It was more of the thought of, you know, staying committed to my shots and, you know, trying to talk through every shot and figure out what I wanted to do on each one, and then totally disconnect from the result. Because, you know, I feel like when I do that, that's when I, you know, start to realize I can go as low as I can, because one, I'm not worried about where the ball goes, and two, I'm really not worried about the score, because once I, you know, have decided that I'm going to disconnect from the result, commit to my shot, pick the right shot, and go through my process, then I can't really control where the ball goes on its own. And, you know, I found all my best results to be when I'm focusing on that certain process, and that day I just put together 62 great processes and then added them up at the end. I wasn't really aware of where I stood. I was more aware of, you know, right over the shot, and then just saw where it went, and then I'd go and commit to the next one, and if it went good or went in, then that's how it goes. But it wasn't really a mental thing of let me make some more birdies, because it was really like, let me put four more good processes on this hole and see how it goes. And that's kind of what I did, and then I added them up at the end.
A lot, if not most, junior tournaments don't have scoreboards out on the golf course. Does the junior PGA have scoring out there? And if so, are you a scoreboard watcher? Do you like to know where you stand?
Yeah, usually I never look at scoreboards, you know, because like I just said, it's all about over the shot, and that shouldn't change, you know, what I'm trying to do.
How did you I see people say that, and I love you, but I always say that's complete bull. You really are able to keep yourself from looking at a scoreboard?
I think it's totally possible.
Wow.
You know, I'm not really worried about score, and I'm not really worried about where the ball goes. I'm really just worried about what I'm doing, and I know that what I'm doing is good enough to win any golf tournament. So, you know, but it was hard at Junior PGA because they got these big old Megatron scoreboards out there, and there's five or six of them out there, and it's impossible to not look. Like it's they put them behind greens. And
well, see, that's what I'm saying, that it's although you can have that mindset, it's impossible when the scoreboard is there not to peek up once, right?
Yeah. It was physically impossible, honestly. It wasn't like, let me try not to look. It was like, you're hitting your shot into the green and you can see it. So that it definitely.
But you're not obsessing on it. You're not sitting there staring at it, seeing how everything goes. If your eye catches it, that's fine. But you're not obsessing on what's happening on that scoreboard. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of does that. Like, I feel like the mind does that to itself, though. You know, if I took one peek and it was solid, and I saw that I was leading by two, like, it doesn't matter if I look at it again the rest of the way, but that seed is playing in my mind, and, you know, thoughts will continue to go through your head. So that was kind of the hardest thing I had to overcome mentally. And, you know, because it's just a seed that's playing in your mind, and you really can't replace it and forget about it. You know, rather if it's a glance or an examination, you can't really forget about it. You know, it's just there.
I was talking earlier about Jack Heath. He won the 2019 Junior PGA Championship, firing a 62 in the final round. You fired your 62 in the third round. And I remember one of the cool things that came from Jack winning that was he got to be a part of the Junior President's Cup team and got to go over to Australia. And he came back and had great stories from that. I knew that the winner of this Junior PGA was going to be part of the Junior Ryder Cup team. And then I read this morning that they called that event off because the European squad is not going to be traveling over. That sucks, man. That was going to be great.
Yeah, so, I mean, Junior Ryder Cup is also, obviously, I think it's biggest accomplishment in junior golf. I think it's, you know, a team that only six people make, and, you know, it's such an honor to really, truly do it for your country, and you know, you're representing your country and with only five other guys. But, you know, it is unfortunate that they called it off. But turns out they actually only called competition off. They're actually still going to send us six guys up to Whistling Straits, and we're actually going to be playing exhibition matches and, you know, still get all the cool gear. And I think it'll still be the same experience, to be totally honest with you, if not even better.
So that's awesome. So you are going to get to make that trip up there. And I think if I remember Jack telling me about the Junior President's Cup, you will have access to the Ryder Cup team. Like, you'll get to talk to some of the guys, right?
Yeah, we have – so we'll have full player locker room. We'll be able to – see what goes on inside the ropes, and you know, we're gonna get a lot of time on the range with the guys. And I feel like since they called off our competition, they're giving us a little more freedom and leeway and privilege to, you know, go hang around those guys. So I think we're actually we're gonna be taking a big part in you know, what they're doing, and we're gonna get to see everything up close and see how it's all really done. And I know we're now a part of the opening ceremonies for that actual Ryder Cup. So I think they added a lot of great experiences since we're missing out on our competition. But, you know, I'm just excited about the experience that's going to come.
All right, get you out of here on this. And this question does not come from me, but you'll know who it comes from. Caleb, which is a bigger deal, winning the Boys Junior PGA Championship and being a part of the Junior Ryder Cup team, or taking Hogan Nance and Nick Smith out to Eagle Chase in Marshville and beating the pants off of them to the point that they have to remain silent and just bow to your greatness?
Well, you know, I want to say Junior PGA just because I've only done that once. But, you know, I feel like I've done that to him probably 100 too many times out of Eagle Chase, so it's starting to get a little meaningless.
Just to let you in on that little inside joke, Nick Smith also was a state champion at Union Academy, and Hogan Nance, of course, is my son, and those three have played an awful lot of golf together out at Eagle Chase in Marshville. Remember that name, Caleb Surratt. Trust me, going to be on your golf radar for years to come. I'd also like to thank Taylor Zarzer of PGA Tour Radio, SiriusXM, and assorted other media outlets for his time and insight this week. A reminder to follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now are links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around the world of golf. Weather-wise, well, guess what? It's summertime. It's hot. It's humid. You may have to dodge a shower or two, but still great weather for getting out and letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart in the Carolinas. And if you do put a peg in the ground this weekend, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where you can get prior generation Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X, and prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls for $39.99 a dozen. Oh my goodness, the Golfer's Paradise is setting new sales records every day. That's because Greater Golf Express has the best selection, service, and pricing in the metro. Don't be fooled at the Planet Box store. Hey, have you heard about the brand new TaylorMade 300 Mini Driver? Check it out at Greater Golf Express. And while there, stock up on the prior generation TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X balls, only $39.99 a dozen. And you know what else? It's time to replace your old faded golf bag. And Greater Golf Express can help. They have a huge selection of Hot Z cart bags
bags starting at only $119.99, or get the outstanding Naples Bay cart bag at $139.99 with lots of great choices. Need a new set of irons? Get the Tour Edge Hot Launch 4 irons, 4 through pitching wedge, sale priced at $399.99, right-handed only. And don't forget, Greater Golf Express will give you a better club fitting for less. Lower your scores. Get fitted. If it's golf and you need it, Greater Golf Express has it, located in Pineville next to Home Depot, or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.